hopefully Haley will join us in a few minutes and be ready for any official votes that we would need to take. Julie, would you mind starting the recording?
I just started. You're good to go. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Good morning. This is Rachel Quinn, Qualifications Committee Chair. I'd like to call the Oregon Board of Accountancy Qualifications Committee to order at 10:07 a.m. on Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. This meeting is being recorded. Let's begin with a roll call, and I'll start with committee members and then move on to applicants and their supervisors. So this one's for the record. This is Rachel Quinn. Megan Kurz?
Here.
Haley Fish? Not yet. Yvette Burling?
Here.
Michael Smoot?
Here.
Ryan Kramer?
Here.
Wonderful. And are there any committee members joining us that were able to free themselves up?
Hello?
Oh, it sounds like...
Hi, this is Jeremy and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Well, we're just getting started and doing a roll call for committee members and then staff, and then we'll do applicants.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining. All right. Sounds like Julie and Stacy are present. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Wonderful. Any committee members or staff whose name I did not call? Excellent. All right, let's move on to applicants. What applicants do we have joining us?
Here's Carolyn Stevenson.
Carolyn.
Caitlin Van Allen is on the call as well.
I'm sorry, earlier did I hear Aswani?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. And advisors, please identify yourself by name and then also note which applicant you're supporting.
So you have Janelle Porzaw supporting Carolyn Stevenson.
Thank you and welcome.
Jeremy Waldron supporting Ashwini.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm sorry, Janelle, what was your last name?
It's Porsov, P-O-R-S-O-V.
Oh, thank you very much.
Sure.
Do you have anyone else attending this morning who's not identified themselves yet? All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. The agenda was included in the meeting materials. It includes the standard board report, which Julie will be giving today, a review of just one new applicant and three deferred applicants. We will also be covering the 2019 meeting calendar and electing a new chair and vice chair. This is my last meeting after 6 years on the committee. I can't believe it's been that long, but my rotations of I'm up, so it's time for me to roll off, and so we'll need to replace my chair role. Does anybody else have any proposed additions or revisions to our agenda? Is there anything else we need to cover this morning? All right. Well, let's then have Julie provide a report of board action.
It's short and sweet. The board reviewed all of your recommendations from your last meeting, and they approved across the board. Again, the board sends their appreciation for all that you do, the work that you do, and that's it. There was nothing more to say.
Okay, thanks, Julie. And did somebody else join us this morning?
Hi, yes, Haley is joining the call.
Yay.
Oh, good morning, Haley. All right, well, your timing is perfect. We're about to move on to current applications, and we just have one today, so I envision this potentially could be a relatively quick meeting, but appreciate your attention while we're here. As a reminder, it does keep things a bit easier from a motion perspective if we open up the applicant's record for discussion before making a motion. So, Yvette, are you ready to discuss Carolyn Stevenson's application today?
Yes, I am.
And would you mind getting a little bit closer to the phone? I'll also turn up my volume a little far away.
I am on a phone that I can't get adjusted right. Can you hear me?
That's much better.
You might be able to hear me, but I can't hear you because then the ear thing's not there. I think I'll switch just a second. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so I reviewed Carolyn Stevenson's application. She works for Greenwood Resources, Inc. She's been there for about 18 months, but she has some prior experience at some other companies. She is a responsible for the close process, forecasts, financial reports, operating expense forecasts, cash forecasts, managing the annual audit, and disclosures to work papers and financials. I initially read her application and then asked her to go back and add a little more detail on each section to show more specifics about the work done to meet each of the competencies. I believe she's got a lot of valuable information in here that shows the depth of her experience. Specifically competency D, she was involved in a ERP implementation that gave her great experience in understanding the transaction stream that we want them to have. She meets with the managers and each of the various departments to help plan their budgets and to go over variances to the budgets when the activity is overstated or understated. So she's got a wide variety of experience. She prepares reports and meets with people in person to go over monthly and quarterly results. And I think she has met the information and the competencies, so I'd like to open this up for discussion.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from committee members regarding Carolyn's application?
This is Michael Smoot. Just out of transparency, I just wanted to note that our firm, Moss Adams, does do some audits for some of the lower entities that ultimately roll up to Greenwood Resources. However, I've never been involved, nor do I have any relationship with any of the management team over there. In addition, I noted that her previous supervisor is also a current client. However, none of her supervision was being utilized in the report. So I think, you know, with both those things in consideration, I don't think that impairs my ability to vote on this application. And with that being said, I found the narrative to be very articulate. The specific examples that were called out were, you know, done in a really good way to truly demonstrate, you know, how she's met the competency. That's all I had.
This is Megan. I had a quick question on competency B for Carolyn while you're on the line and with Janelle available as well. I'm wondering if you can help me and the committee, maybe understand in the first example that you have under competency E why EBITDA is an important metric for your particular organization. What about that specific metric is really meaningful for your group?
Yeah, this is Carolyn. We use that metric. It's to a lot of
different items are calculated based off that metric. For instance, like our bonus pool for the entire company is 40% of EBITDA. And so, you know, we are tracking to that every year to kind of calculate or see how our bonus pool is doing. Another important thing that comes off of EBITDA is our shareholder valuations. So we have a number of management that's our shareholders, and whether they each year, if they decide to put shares, the valuation is a calculation. It's EBITDA with a few adjustments, but it's the big target is based on EBITDA, and so it's just a big metric that we use for some big calculations.
Thank you.
This is Rachel. I have a question related to competency E, and you talk about how specific accounts are identified as high risk, and talk a little bit about why. Could you just elaborate a little bit about that, about how, what are some of the things you think about when you're trying to assess the risk of accounts and what responses you might take?
And this is Ryan Kramer. I just want to note that I kind of had the same question. I felt like that competency was talking about that revenue recognition, estimated liabilities, shareholder redemptions were noted as high risk. And it talks about the things that are in place, like a closed checklist, disclosure checklist, locking the GL for periods. But I felt that it was missing a little bit of the risk assessment procedures and how that analysis is done and how you determine that the procedures and controls in place actually address the relevant financial statement assertions. So just kind of want to add on the couple points that I had there too for the response.
This is Haley. I agree with the past two comments and was looking for more of the why and the correlation to the accounts and the specific procedures rather than just the outline of the checklist.
Karen, I think we should not.
Sorry, just could you, I mean, we definitely just, this is more for a procedural FYI for Carolyn and Janelle, so we can certainly consider what you might tell us verbally, But we will need to eventually make our recommendations as a committee based on what is in writing. So if you walk through this, if you could help point to specific commentary in the application and pair it with a verbal, that would help. That's kind of what we're looking for.
So we had a lot of kind of questions come out there. I think I followed most of what you're trying to get at, but it might be helpful to kind of repeat what I think the core of the question is, and you guys can let me know, you know, if we're on track. So I think when we think about the company of Greenwood itself, we're a service organization, and we're also a subsidiary. So for us, a lot of the risk is in our talent pool, HR, the related costs for salaries, and, you know, so I think we had highlighted that as being an important area. In terms of, you know, accruals and things like that, we don't have a lot of, you know, what you would traditionally see as very complex estimates and things like that. So, you know, we try to list those things that we know are important to our parent company in terms of risk and generally which we know are important in terms of, you know, accounting recognition for, like, revenue and such. So, you know, we don't have an internal framework where we would do, like an auditor would, a risk assessment where we're looking at each account and looking at the controls. So what we try to highlight here really is which we know are the most high-risk areas based on discussions with our parents and risk assessments that they do. So that, kind of giving you guys that information, I guess, is there a further development of the question or is there something else you're looking for to highlight that response? Okay.
This is Ryan. I mean, I think that's helpful context. I just felt like the competency was really just kind of focusing on the what the procedures are and less about kind of that risk assessment. And I kind of I think that's helpful context. And I guess I know that there were a couple other people that expressed concern about this particular competency. So I guess I'd be curious what their thoughts are as well.
This is Haley. I think that was helpful context. However, I think it actually kind of confirms that you've done less of the actual risk assessment yourself and more of actually the implementing of the procedures someone has told you to do.
Yeah, well, you know, our parent company has an entire department that kind of looks at their consolidated risk, and they do communicate those to us via a group, and we participate in calls and such, and we make sure we implement their risk assessment recommendations. You know, in terms of risk assessment that we do on a standalone basis, I mean, certainly we're doing, I think, best business practice in terms of looking at our estimates and areas of liability and things like that. I think I just wanted to point out that our business in itself isn't so complex that we have extremely robust procedures, but that doesn't mean that we aren't contemplating them ourselves to a certain extent. I hope that context helps. I mean, perhaps we could clarify on some of the discussions we have with management about accruals and things of that nature to make sure that we've recorded all liabilities and such.
Sorry, this is Megan. Can I just confirm, Carolyn, is that you speaking or is that Janelle?
This is Janelle. We're here together in my office, but yeah, this is Janelle.
So this is Rachel. I'll just kind of phrase what I think would be helpful as an addition to the competency we're discussing, competency E. You are always going to have an account that might not be qualitatively risky, but you might want to do a procedure. You assess risk for other reasons, right? So just because you're not engaged in really complex transactions for your business doesn't mean you don't have things that are higher risk, right? So if you could elaborate on, like right now you have a phrase in the very first paragraph, these accounts are considered high risk for either the risk of fraud or complicated calculations required. These areas of high risk, I'm sure special attention is paid to confirm accuracy. If you could just maybe elaborate on why do these accounts present the risk of fraud? Why does a complicated calculation cause you to assess these accounts as high risk? And then I think there's a discussion later on about shareholder redemption obligation, and it says this account is considered high risk because of the complicated requirements of the contract, the importance of calculating the correct balance due to each stockholder. So that fleshes it out a little bit more. I think you could even add maybe a little bit more detail around, you know, how you got to that of thinking of that as a high-risk account, how you participated in discussions with your parent company about the risk assessment process. Those are all things that would be helpful in demonstrating, Carolyn, your ability to understand the nature of accounts and transactions and the risks associated with those, and then following it through to, so what? So this is a high risk because of this, and so I did this. That's kind of the linkage that I was looking for. I don't know, Ryan, Megan, Haley, does that articulate what you were looking for as well?
I think that does. This is Ryan. I think that does, and I would say maybe taking it just a little bit further just to be clear about, I think it's unlikely that while the parent company may be kind of dictating what where the risk areas are, they're probably not dictating the procedures that you actually put in place to address those risks. And so if you can just elaborate a little bit why the procedures and the things that you do address those risks and address the financial statement assertions, I think that would tie it all together with the earlier edits.
I totally agree. That was very well stated. The why and then the procedure of the specific procedure to address that risk.
Okay, so you're wanting, this is Janelle to clarify again. So you're wanting Carolyn to say, okay, well, I'm reviewing the information to ensure that it's accurate against source contracts and documents. And, you know, ensuring that it's complete, you know, that the entire population of the calculation is there. So kind of the procedures that are actually the controls around the presentation of information, and then also you're looking for some commentary on her identification and agreement with the risk assessment, and then the procedures that she's performing to address those. I think is what I'm hearing.
This is Megan. I think that sounds right, and maybe to just kind of put a finer point on it. So circling back to Rachel's comment earlier in the discussion about, you know, the opening paragraph that discusses, hey, there's a risk of fraud associated with this account, kind of fleshing that out in more detail. So what does that mean? What is that risk of fraud? Is it, you know, management override of controls? Is the account associated with revenue, which is tied to a bonus calculation, so there's an incentive, right? Like, so what specifically is the risk, and how do you articulate that, you know, that's really fully understood and then reflected in the paper so that we all understand that it's understood?
Okay, that was really helpful. Thank you.
And this is Megan again, and I guess while it sounds like we're going to be doing a little more work on E, I personally think it would be helpful to expand some of the discussion in competency B around those critical success factors, particularly, you know, related to EBITDA. I understand, you know, it's important because it's tied to the bonus, but why is that? Why is that the bonus metric that the organization has chosen to tie the bonus to? Is that because it's, you know, reflective of operations and things that management has control over, i.e. you would strip out things like tax because of tax reform, which really isn't management, like, you know, in their control? Or, you know, and why is that something that's important for your organization versus is that something that's important for every organization? Is this unique to you? How would you compare and contrast that to maybe another business?
Sure. Yeah.
And,
yeah, that makes great sense. Thank you.
Megan, can we confirm that was competency B, that you were boy?
Yes, B is in boy. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
Wait, are there any other competencies we need to discuss?
Oh, sorry, this is Ryan. I was talking on mute and didn't realize it. I also had a question about competency F, which relates to decision-making, problem-solving, critical and analytical thinking. I think that the couple examples in there really focus on technical accounting research. So there's a compensation deferred comp example, and then there's also the ASU for the classification of deferred tax assets and liabilities. And while I think it's good to show that research and application to the company, I felt like it was missing a little bit the analysis of accounting data in using problem-solving skills to interpret it, or the identification of data trends and the related short-term, long-term impacts. So I was expecting a little bit more than just I did some accounting research and recommended that we apply it. And even if you were going to say, like, those examples, were there any financial statement impacts, you know, short-term, long-term, from applying both the deferred comp and the deferred tax ASU, but even maybe some other examples in your job where you kind of have to do more of an analysis and apply it back to the company's business and the financial statements? Is that clear?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just sounds like, you know, I'm kind of, my examples are kind of, this is what we did and we applied it, so you're looking for a little more, like, analysis of, we applied it and this is how it impacted both short-term and long-term, the short-term and long-term impacts on the business of applying this new,
So
yeah. Fact, are you looking for the analysis steps prior to conclusion, or are you looking for analysis post conclusion?
Oh, I guess I don't really think about analysis prior and post conclusion, but I think that as you're going through and researching a particular accounting issue and the relevant literature, kind of thinking about what that impact is going to be in the financials. So. So a couple of these are, you know, balance sheet requests, but are there any considerations as it relates to the financial statements and trends and any other metrics that are used by the company that were considered as part of this versus just saying, hey, you know, we got to apply the standards, let's book it. So to answer your question, I think the analysis could be at any point in the process.
Ely, I would say that I liked the research that you did present, but I agree with Ryan. Maybe you could expand on the last example related to cash flow and really talk more about not this goes on and this is what happened. Like, how did you guys, the impact of that on the financials and or any other, like, did the fact that it needed a short-term loan have a long-term consideration of maybe going concern or something else related to that? Just more analysis on more of a trend stuff. So maybe adding a new example and or expanding on the cash flow example.
Oh, I think I'm hearing discussion about competencies. B is in boy, E is in elephant, F is in. Do I have those right?
Yeah, that's what we've documented. Mm-hmm.
Great. Other competencies we need to discuss? Great. Haley, would you like to bring forward a motion?
Would you like Yvette to do it?
Oh, I'm sorry, Yvette, yes.
Okay. Based on the discussion, I move to defer the application for Carolyn Stevenson pending additional documentation for competencies B as in boy, E as in Edward, F as in Frank.
This is Megan. I'll second that.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. Motion passes. All right, let's move on to deferred applicants. I'm going to go a little bit out of order here because I know we've got some applicants and their supervisors on the phone. So let's actually start with Michael Kramer. Would you like to walk us through?
So this is Ryan. I was unable to attend the last meeting for Sweeney, so just a little recap. Again, she works for New World Van Lines. I think she's been there since September 2017 until now. I had provided some comments noting that following up with the candidate on her introduction and competencies A, B, E, F, and G, that I was comfortable moving forward. In discussion in the meeting that I did not attend, the committee noted additional information was required for several competencies, and I can just provide a quick summary of that request to provide context for discussion. The first is competency B. It was noted that the narrative was lacking in detail, success factors were not communicated, and there was no assessment of the impact of her examples on the organization. Competency D, it was noted that she should articulate the impacts to the financial statements of her examples. Competency E, it was noted that it was generally lacking information and it did not address risk assessment from an analytical perspective. Competency F, didn't specifically address accounting standards. And competency G, indicated that she should define management and identify specific management for reporting or discuss working with at a higher on a higher level team. So the applicant provided updates to each of the competencies noted following the last meeting, and I think as I was not present for that discussion, I think I'd like to open up to the committee to discuss any thoughts on the edits that have been made on those competencies.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. And I'm sorry I called you Mike. I'm struggling with names today. Opening it up for discussion for the committee. And Rich, I'll start with, well, maybe we can just clarify. So the post-heard narrative changes are the ones in bold and italics? That's a question for Aswani, I think.
It's supposed to be bold underlined.
This is Ryan. I know that's a question for the applicant. I was actually just going back and comparing the original version that I reviewed in advance of the last meeting with the latest, and I think that for the most part it's bolded and underlined, although I think there are some additional edits that may have just been in either bold or bold and italics as well. So as part of my review, I just kind of read the whole thing over again. So.
For the post-deferred narrative, I have included the bold and underlined changes.
Okay. This is Rachel. One of the things that I was looking for from the previous application was some reference to some specific technical literature that you'd analyzed and the conclusions associated with that, and I did see those in the revisions, which I appreciated.
This is Megan. I agree, Rachel.
So are there any other comments? I think pretty much everyone on the call was present for the last one, so do people feel that the edits address the concerns that came out of the last review?
Is there anyone that has any remaining concerns or would like to cover competencies?
Mm-hmm.
This is Megan. I guess the one question that I had as I was reading the payroll process update, it looks like we've included, or that the applicant has included, the questionnaires related to maybe a walkthrough of the process, and I just wanted to confirm that those are the notes based on your discussions and walkthroughs with the individuals on the other side. Is that how we should be sort of thinking about this edit?
Yeah, each of the questions were addressed to the persons who are involved in the payroll process, and we have documented based on that.
Thank you.
So this is Ryan again. I maybe have one question. So there was a fair amount of additional detail added to competency B, as in boy, around the revenue recognition standard. And that example was introduced in relation to the company's goal of growing revenue while reducing working capital. And I think that this falls under the category of a verbal response can tie together what's written in the narrative, not necessarily that I think anything else is required in the narrative. But it's not clear to me whether the gains that were made in some of the ratios and the metrics that were called out were merely a byproduct of the changes required by the revenue standard, or if the revenue standard was kind of used to assess the company's goals to decrease working capital while growing revenue. So I don't know if you can provide a little bit of context into what was the role of the new revenue recognition standard in relation to the company's goals and objectives and the performance measures related to working capital and revenue growth?
Well, actually, the company was able to generate revenue, but at the cost of increasing working capital. So the company had to actually shift the way the work was performed, and this was also facilitated by the change in the revenue standard.
Okay, so the revenue standard, it was just kind of like a timing thing, that the revenue, or that the application of the revenue standard allowed you to achieve some of the operational goals?
Actually, compared to the previous and the current standard, if you see, there was a shift from cost-plus model to a performance-based model, and the company also wanted to move from increasing the cost and hence the revenue to a model where they could actually increase the performance and generate revenue and reduce working capital. So since the company shifted its policy and the revenue standard also helped improve on the working capital and the revenue as well.
Okay, thank you.
I think for clarifying, because as I was reading it the first time, I remember thinking, an accounting standard is not really a strategy.
That's kind of where I was from.
Yeah, the company also changed its policy, which helped improve the metrics.
Okay, any other discussion topics for this application? All right, thank you. Ryan, would you like to bring forth a motion?
Yeah, following discussion, I move to bring forth a preliminary motion to approve the application.
A second?
This is Michael, I second.
I think that we need to, I don't know how important this is, Julie, but I think that the technical language is, I move there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that candidate Iswani Aryan has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
Thank you.
Yes. Sorry, in the middle of that, I realized that I probably should pull up that language, that I was not going to get it quite right. So if you just give me 1 second, I can...
Or you can just ditto Rachel.
Okay, I ditto what Rachel said.
Is there a second?
There's Michael, I'll second again.
All right, all in favor of the motion as stated, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? All right, thank you. Motion passes. Okay, let's move on to Caitlin, who is the other applicant on the phone. Megan.
Great. Thank you, Rachel. So just a quick reminder for the group. Caitlin Van Allen submitted her application in advance of the November 2018 meeting. She ultimately had 2 write-ups, one from Cambia Health Solutions, where she participated in the MOU program that Cambia has on file, and then another one from Intel, and then there were 2 signing supervisors on each of those applications for a total of 4 supervisors across 2 applications. So ultimately, from the November meeting, Caitlin's application was deferred pending additional documentation on competency E only, and she was provided guidance to add additional depth and color to the examples. Following the meeting, Katie was very responsive and communicative and worked through comments and a couple of additional revisions on the competency, had it signed by the supervisor, Jason Benedict, who is the person that signed off on competency E for the application overall. And so based on my final review of the updated narrative, I felt that Katie did a nice job of demonstrating in a clear and concise way her understanding of the pretty specific risks, and I thought she articulated in a lot of really good detail, particularly on the SOX risk assessment and scoping process for the Treasury-related controls, as well as participating in a development process over identifying, defining, and really highlighting those spreadsheets that are determined to be key or high risk based on their downstream impact to journal entries impacting the financial statements, et cetera. So based on the updated write-up, which I thought she did a nice job on, I wanted, are there any other questions, I guess, before I get to the motion?
This is Yvette. I thought the write-up was very thorough, and I appreciated all of the information that she included in there. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments or questions or... So barring none, I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Caitlin Van Allen has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR
801-010-0065.
For a second?
This is Michael. Oh. You can take this one, Ryan.
Very, very well put. I second that motion.
Ryan, all in favor, say aye.
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 And any opposed? All right, thank you. Motion passes. All right, so I think we just have Sandy Kwan's application. That is Michael Smith.
Yep. Got it. Sorry, I've hitting the mute button. So just kind of a, I guess, look back to Sandy. So she was deferred in the last application process. Just for competency E, I know there was some discussion around identification of specific risks, especially within the accounts receivable process. And then we had asked that she make a little bit more clear, specific link to the actual risk assessment. Sandy was extremely responsive after providing the feedback. I think she had sent the updates within a few days after she got the comments, which is, you know, always a little difficult communicating back and forth with China. And then also to mention, she had gone through the process, I believe, last year, and ultimately kind of found out that didn't really have the necessary competencies at that time, but felt through this new process that she does and is able to articulate how she gets there on the various competencies. So I guess with respect to the updates that were made, you know, she took that commentary to heart, basically did essentially a full rewrite of competency E within her the couple examples she had. And then within the accounts receivable risk assessment, she did get, you know, a little bit more granular and spoke to the assertion level risk, specifically with, you know, the valuation and completeness of AR. You know, ultimately after review of the updated competency E, I felt that, you know, she was able to and took kind of our guidance and was able to articulate that within the competency. But I'd be happy to hear if there's any additional questions. I don't believe she's on the phone. It's probably pretty middle of the night in China, but so I don't think we'd get any responses. However, if there's anything else within there that the committee doesn't feel like was articulated within that competency, I'd love to hear that.
There's dialogue on competency E from the committee.
This is Haley. I struggled a little bit with the rationale of, like, external auditors something as the basis for something being high risk, and some would have liked to see more of the why, but I'm kind of on the fence either way. Or comments on
this is Ryan. I actually thought that the edits were sufficient.
All right. Michael, would you like to make a motion?
Sure. I move to find that there is sufficient evidence to make a preliminary finding that Sandy Yan has demonstrated the competencies necessary for initial licensing per OAR 801-010-0065.
This is Ryan. That was also well said, and I second.
Thank you.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay, so that brings us through all of our applicants and just to our new business. Julie, I believe you were going to discuss the 2019 meeting calendar?
Yes, it's just there purely as information. The board has adopted the final calendar, and so this is the published calendar for all of the board and committee meetings.
Is that going to be distributed to the committee via email? Is it on the website? I miss it in a previous distribution?
It will come out to you via email.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
I believe our 2019 date already established, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it's the same that you saw last time. We swapped the January and April in-person meetings due to the weather and or potential weather and the lack of, you know, a large agenda. But other than that, I think everything was what you discussed and was available on the doodle as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same as, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the 2019 meeting calendar?
Yes, the doodle that came out.
It was the final doodle that was sent out.
So those dates haven't changed, but we will get that to you by email as soon as this meeting's over. Mm-hmm. So you'll have it.
All right, well, let's move on to our last item. So this is my last meeting. Traditionally, have the vice chair transition to the chair role, but that's not a requirement, and that's subject to the vote of the... Megan Kurtz has served on this committee since 2015 and is currently in the role of... today, we would need to elect a new chair, and should Megan transition to the chair role, we would also need to elect a vice chair. So just so you kind of know what you're getting into, from my perspective, and Julie might have more to add to this, chair requirements are really around confirming agenda items with the staff, working through any process or procedural issues, of course reviewing applications just as committee members do, and then of course I lead the meetings themselves. Chairs are typically not directly assigned any applicants to review, although that may happen in a high volume. Vice chairs simply fulfill the requirements for the chair should he or she be unable to participate, but other than that are a normal committee member. Time commitments for the chair and the vice chair are roughly equivalent to those invested by the other committee members, but in the case of the chair, it's just spent on slightly different activities in preparing. I would just open it up for any questions, if anyone would like to make a recommendation about a new chair.
Megan, are you willing to step into the chair role?
Yes, I'd be honored to step into that role. Get so loaded in.
To make a motion. Megan's interested, and of course she's been on the committee for several years now. I'm confident she would do a better job than I did.
I think she'll do a great job, but you have also, Rachel, so I don't know that comparison is, you know, needed.
I would say thank you to Rachel for keeping the meetings on task. Done very well.
Yes.
Agreed. Thank you.
All right. So, someone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we nominate Megan as the chair for the new year.
This is Haley on second.
All those in favor of nominating Megan Kurtz to the role of Qualifications Committee Chair, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Aye.
Congratulations, Megan. Thank you for leading these meetings going forward. That does leave a Vice Chair role available. I am sensitive to the fact that we just have a quorum today, and so if there's anyone that's interested in that vice chair role that's on today, would love to this. I have not heard from any others that are not in attendance today that might be interested. Julie, have you had any discussions?
I have not. Anybody want to raise their hand? You're all so quiet today.
Well, this is Megan. I think that we're in a really good position because I think everybody that currently sits on the committee would be a fantastic candidate for the role. Having sat in the chair for probably 18 months to maybe a couple of years alongside Rachel, I think it was a really good opportunity to step in and get the experience in leading meetings in the event that Rachel was unable to attend. I highly recommend it to anybody that's on the phone that would like to raise their hand.
Julie, question for you, because I'm also sensitive to the fact that we don't have full representation.
Yes.
Could we head into next meeting and have the have the vice chair position vacant until we make a decision in the April meeting?
That's exactly what I was just thinking. Megan, are you able to attend the April 10th meeting?
I believe she is.
Yes.
Okay. So as long as we know we'll have that, we'll have, somebody running the meeting. Yes, I think we'll just add the vice chair nominations to the next agenda, and hopefully we'll have, a bigger group. And it gives the people on the line some time to think about it, too. Maybe reach out to Megan if I guess you can't. If you have more questions about what it entails, Megan can either give more information here, or you can contact the board staff, and we can do that through email.
Mm-hmm.
We're happy to facilitate.
Okay, do we need to, just in case of emergency, I certainly hope we would not need to do this. If for whatever reason Megan was not available on that April meeting, I'm assuming we just reschedule, correct?
That's highly likely, yes, unless somebody was able just to step in and run the meeting temporarily. But yeah, Megan, if you can't be there for any reason, will you reach out and let me know?
Absolutely.
Okay. I know you will. I know you would anyway, so, but yeah, we'll make sure that we are covered. Thank you, Rachel.
Anything else knowing that we're kind of postponing the discussion about the vice chair until we have a larger committee representation, is there any other items of business that we need to cover today?
Are there other open positions in the committee now that Rachel will be leaving?
There will be, and we are taking forward a list of, I don't want to say nominees, but a list of people who have shown interest will go forward to the board and, so that we can select off the list. If, okay. If you have anybody that you know is interested, have them contact us, and we can get their names on the list if they're not already. It's a question on your renewal applications each year now if you have interest in serving on a board or committee. And so, we've compiled a list from that.
Wonderful change. I remember prior to that we had to go recruit.
Yes. Yes, and it's nice because now we have a list, so whenever we know there's a vacancy coming up, we run a current list of people who have expressed interest. So people who are literally checking a box, not just are being arm twisted. And we prepare that list for the board, they give their thumbs up, and then we can, just start calling people to see who is really available.
Anything else? Questions or comments?
Well, with that, I will adjourn us at 11:07, a very efficient meeting with a short list of discussion topics today. So thank you all. Good luck in the applicants.
And thank you to Rachel. We really do appreciate your service. You've been wonderful to work with.
Thank you, Rachel.
It's rewarding.
Thanks, Rachel. Yeah, thanks for your leadership.
Glad to do it. All right, thanks everybody.
All right, have a good day.
Have a good day. Bye.
Bye. Bye.